Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here for one more day with one of my favorite guests, Dr. Peter Williamson, the Adam Cardinal Maida Chair for Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, a really fantastic Bible teacher and Bible scholar. And he's written the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture, and we've been reflecting on their latest one on Galatians, which I'd encourage you to get out and buy. You can get it on Amazon or Catholic bookstores and stuff. It's really good. It's co-written. It's with Peter himself and then one of his former teachers, one of the most famous scholars in the history of the Catholic Church, Cardinal Albert Vanois, and who is an expert on Galatians and among other things. And so you're getting real gold here. And I don't want you, because these scholars wrote it, to be intimidated by it. This is put together in a language that if you're a reader, if you're a college grad, whatever, if you want to know more about the Word of God, this will be accessible to you. It's not going to be over your head. It's not going to be dry and super academic. It's really accessible. And I use his commentaries, these commentaries all the time. They're really, really good. So, and thoroughly Catholic, but deep and understanding and very rich. So,
thanks, Pete.
Yeah, appreciate that. True. No, I love promoting it. But welcome back, Peter. Sorry, I was impolite. Let's jump into Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. We had just talked yesterday about being children of God, crying out, Abba, Father, a new life has begun in us. And part of that life is living in freedom of the sons and daughters of God. So there's this battle, we know, between the flesh and the spirit. So what is Paul teaching us here?
I want to begin with verse 16 of chapter 5, because it's actually mistranslated in the Revised Standard Version, which is the one that's sitting in front of me and that a lot of people use. And I'm using the Second Catholic edition, but it mistranslates it. Now, this is a place where the New American Bible translates this verse more accurately. Okay. So I'm going to tell you what this version says, the RSV, and then I'll tell you the correct translation. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh." So that sounds like there's two commands, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. But in fact, the Greek says this, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You will surely not gratify the desires of the flesh, might be another way of saying it. So walking by the Spirit means living in accord with or conducting yourself under the guidance of the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. And it says, if you do that, you won't be living at the level of gratifying the desires of the flesh. I think that's helpful because a lot of times people think, I've got to keep rules. That's how I live my Christian life. Or I've got to do my religious practices and then I'm okay. But Paul is saying, no, walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, set your mind on the things of God, and try to tune in through prayer to the life of the Holy Spirit. And if you do that, you're not going to be living at the desires of the flesh. So in other words, Christian life is not primarily something negative, saying, I won't do this, I won't do this, I won't do this, but it's something positive. I will do this. I will live in the Spirit. I will live in union with Christ.
Yeah. Could you define specifically what Galatians means by the flesh?
Yeah.
Most of the time, guys think it's sexual. He's talking about sexual immorality.
And of course, sexual immorality is an aspect of the flesh. But Paul says this, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit, and it's meaning Spirit of God with a capital S, are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. So it's saying that inside of the Christian, there are two kind of inclinations. One is the indwelling Spirit of God that is pointing us towards what's right. And then the other is our fallen nature. And that's what Paul means by the flesh. He means our humanity as it's controlled by sin, as sin dwells in us. Paul talks about the same thing in Romans 7, especially. It's the thing that pulls us in the wrong way. So Paul says that you've got these two impulses, then that means you can't gratify every desire because some of your desires are not right. So he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So in other words, the key for us as Christians is to learn to connect with that indwelling Spirit and be directed by that, be led by that, let that control us rather than our lower nature rather than our sinful tendencies.
I'm thinking of Thomas Aquinas, not him alone, but he taught that the Holy Spirit is the new law.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. So that fundamentally, we don't have a written code that we're conforming our lives to of do these good things. In fact, it's the indwelling Spirit of God who is the law, who shapes us, who guides us. And so that's what Paul basically is saying in this paragraph is, if you follow the Spirit, if you live in the Spirit, you let that new law of the Spirit shape your life, you are not going to be violating God's law, and you're not going to be living at the level of the flesh. So then he helps people understand what's flesh and what's spirit by giving a list of them. Mm-hmm. So he says, now the works of the flesh are plain, or they're obvious. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness. So all three of those have to do with sexual immorality. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness. So that's one thing. And that's, as you said a minute ago, is what everybody thinks the flesh is. But Paul adds other things. Idolatry, false religion, but also idolizing other things. You know, there are idols, you know, we don't bow down before images of Mars and Jupiter and so on, Venus, like they did in those days. But, you know, for some people, an idol is what you put your ultimate trust in, or what you love above everything else. So, for some people, sports is an idol.
Sports, money, power, honor, public honor, all that kind of
sex,
stuff.
Sex, relationships. Yeah, People make a god out of somebody else. They become dependent on them. Addictions can be idols for people, mm-hmm. basically. I mean, mm-hmm. Alcohol, drugs, mm-hmm. Sex, other things can become for something, a god that they serve, that they're enslaved to.
Yeah. Can I just say one thing, Peter? You mentioned immorality, impurity, licentiousness. All three of those in some way refer to sexual immorality.
Yeah.
And I just want to underline, there's a number of places where Paul talks about these like vice lists, and he'll talk about that sexual immorality is a really big deal, and the sexual immorality of all kinds. You know, don't you know you're a temple of the living God?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Paul's clear about, you know, fornication, and probably didn't have pornography in their day in the same kind of way, but things like pornography and adultery and the rest of it, all that stuff is inconsistent with the gospel and spiritually very dangerous. And the reason I'm saying that is because sometimes today the whole homosexual reality is pushed out in the culture so much and trying to bring everybody to accept it.
Yeah.
And that if you're going to be a loving person, you should accept it. And then even some voices in the Catholic Church are trying to say that Paul's not referring in the Bible, in Romans 1 or here or other places, to homosexual sex as being wrong.
Yeah.
He's talking about some pederasty thing that happened with the Greeks or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
No.
And the church isn't picking on homosexuals or saying this is the worst sin of all or something like that. It's just trying to say, no, it falls within the whole Christian understanding of what human sexual morality looks like, what pleases God in this area. And all of it's offensive. So anyway, I just wanted to underline it because there's so much confusion about that out there. And the homosexual person with the same-sex desire is not offensive to God intrinsically, but when you act out on her, just like I would if I acted outside my marriage, it's the same thing.
Exactly.
God would not be happy. He would hate the sin that I'm committing and would love me. So
because sex has a good purpose in God's plan. It's a good thing that he gave to us, and it has a purpose, and it belongs in marriage. And that's the only place for it. We're called to live holy lives. And that was a major theme of the early Christian teaching and preaching, was sexual morality, especially among non-Jews. Jews already were fairly good on sexual morality, but the Gentiles were as immoral then as we are now.
They had a lot of fornication. They had a lot of homosexual behavior. They had a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, a lot of sexual disorder. That's what happens to human beings when they don't know God.
Yes, that's true.
And
it's
so that's what was gone. So continuing down our list of the flesh there, I want to point out that it doesn't just focus on sexual stuff, because it says enmity. That means being enemies of people, being hostile to other people. Mm-hmm. And we know in our neighborhoods, in our families, some people are hostile to others.
1,600 people got shot in Chicago so far this year. 300 dead, you know?
Yeah, so that's enmity.
Yeah.
Strife, fighting, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, divisions, party spirit. That doesn't mean partying, but it means people dividing into groups. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we're not free to do those things. It's saying, if you do them, you're excluding yourself from the kingdom of God.
No, and I think it's really worth hearing this, friends. Paul's saying, I warn you.
Yeah.
I'm warning you, if you live this way and you stay here and you don't walk by the Spirit or live in the Holy Spirit, you are separating yourself from the kingdom of God. You're going to go to hell. Yeah. You will not enter the kingdom
of
God.
Even if you're baptized, even if you go to church, even if you give money to the poor or whatever, if you live this lifestyle, immorality, carousing, you know, all that kind of stuff, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. Yeah. But then he says to the good news, but the fruit of the Spirit. So that's the works that the flesh does, our fallen human nature. But when the Holy Spirit's guiding a person, what is the fruit that's produced? It's love towards other. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So in other words, you're not bound by the law if you live in the Spirit because you live above the level of what the law requires. The law says you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal. Well, if you're living in the Spirit, there's no risk of murdering, committing adultery, stealing, and so on, because you're living a life that's controlled and directed by the Spirit of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so you're not under law, you're under grace.
And this is I can say, like in my own life, where there was a time in my life, some of the things on this vice list were things that I was engaged in.
Yeah.
And even as I started turning toward God, it took a while to get out of them.
And we have to be patient with
ourselves. And I did a lot of that, white knuckling it, willing it. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make this happen. And then I'd be right back into it again, or I couldn't control my anger, or whatever the issues were. And then I look back and I say, wow, God has changed me. Those desires used to plague me, like I was fighting against them. And the desires are gone. Those desires are gone. I don't glow in the dark or anything like that. I'm not without challenges and temptations and things like that. But wow, it's a whole different ballgame right now. And it's from walking out, living this life in the Spirit. As you quoted from NAB, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And that's happened over time.
Exactly.
At times I was discouraged that it was never going to happen.
Yeah.
But friends, just if you're listening, this is a promise for you, for your life. This is the transition Jesus is going to bring you into. And
Yeah, absolutely. And in Romans 8, Paul says a similar message. You might want to take a look at that, where he says, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. For the mind that is set on the flesh leads to death, but the mind that is set on the Spirit leads to life. So it's kind of like, where's your focus? Is it on the Holy Spirit, the things of the Spirit? Yeah. And if it is, then gradually, one step at a time, you're gonna find yourself straightening out.
Yeah. And friends, this is the purpose of the whole, some of the disciplines we were talking about in the church, like prayer, daily prayer, regular mass attendance, fasting, and all this.
Communion.
Yeah, those things don't automatically produce all this. These are the ways in which we cooperate with the Lord's work and do our part, and we receive grace in the sacraments, but the daily disciplines help us to yield to a work of God in us, His transforming work in us. We pay attention to it. Right. We set our minds and
hearts
on it.
We're cooperating with God.
Yeah. Just a few seconds left, Pete. Can you?
Well, it says this point in chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who reaps to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life.
No, that's so good. And thank you for being here this week, Peter.
My pleasure.
This has been really fun. Friends, God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. See you next week.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.